everybody. Thanks for joining us for another fun-filled episode of Where's the Punch podcast. This is Jamie Maxfield, your host, alongside with Mr. Ben Fuller, the co-host of the show. How are we doing, Ben?
Doing good, Jamie. Thank you.
You're doing well. Anything new
whenever,
in your life?
Whenever you express interest in my life, it actually makes me think that might possibly you're interested.
Yeah, can we move on now? Is there something going on in your life that's interesting right now?
Nothing. Ever.
Anything?
Ever.
Have you gotten any new DVD collections? Or 8-sided dice? Have you got any?
No.
Okay.
You have the most frequently changed Facebook profile pic of anyone I'm friends with. You keep that thing fresh. I gotta hand it to you. It's a brand new one. Every day I wake up, it's like Ben Fuller has changed his profile picture.
And it's something to look forward to, right?
At a certain point, I thought, you know, I'm just gonna put the most unflattering pictures of myself that I can find up for my profile. Because I have to face up to it at some point.
I like the one where you're in the suit and you're jumping in the back. There's like
the shaggy salesman one. Yeah,
I like that.
That's actually my work staff photo.
Oh, okay.
We are also joined by a couple comedians as well. That was Andy Farnsworth that you guys just were listening to.
And this is Andy's second return because last time the mic wasn't working.
Yeah.
Jamie set it up incorrectly.
Yes, it was my fault. It was a technical issue, and I feel horrible about it, Andy. I feel horrible
about
it. Have you been able to sleep since we made that mistake? I mean, I've worried about the damage I've done to you.
I honestly have not slept. I mean, like 2 hours a night.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, I hope tonight
makes
up. To be
fair, he hasn't slept.
I don't sleep very well.
At all, period.
Since he was 8.
So it has nothing to do with
me. Since I was 8. I
don't know how to take that, whether it's like I feel better now or feel worse, because my mistake didn't cause you any pain or suffering at all.
It was really fitting for a lot of reasons. I used to be a sound engineer, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was driving you nuts,
huh? I knew that you had the wrong pattern on, but I didn't... I'm actually outing myself as a sound engineer, because I've tried not to tell people, because once they know, they throw you into these situations, and you're supposed to just fix the sound.
Okay, I recorded this awesome thing...
And you don't know anything about the signal path, and you're... Plus, it makes me crazy.
Awesome. We also have Sheldon.
Beitler.
Sheldon, welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you on.
Well, good. It's great to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
Yes.
Sheldon just actually came off stage where he's showcasing a comedy roadkill at the Complex tonight.
Yep. And how did it go?
Oh, I'm pretty good, I think. Would have liked to have a little bit more laughter. I mean, I thought maybe I should laugh up there myself to kind of get it going.
Yeah, sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
What I love about Sheldon does this thing. I haven't seen you do it as much recently, but he would take his punchlines or a joke, and then he would try to turn it into a meme. He would get a picture that he'd associate the joke with and then post it up.
Oh, yeah.
And they were pretty funny.
Yeah?
I
like to see comics do.
And that's
take advantage of the format a little bit more often like that.
I think you're the only Jew at the table. Is that correct, Sheldon?
I am. I don't think.
You guys are making some assumptions.
I didn't just pull that out of the air. He was talking about it on stage.
Oh, no one thinks I could be Jewish. Is that?
Well, what? I was asking. Are you?
No, I'm not.
In fact?
Okay, now I don't think I'm the only Jew in Utah, though.
No, you're not.
But I'm not as rich as some of the other ones, so... I'm the poor Jew on the west side.
You're the black sheep.
Yeah.
Is Beitler a Jewish name?
Beitler is actually a German name.
Oh, that makes sense.
I was actually born in Germany.
Yeah? Really?
So I was. I was 2 and a half when I came here. So that's where I get all my comedy from, this... I really shouldn't say this. I was going to say the Holocaust, but then I'd get in trouble.
Yeah. No. The beautiful thing about comedy is there honestly is no areas you can't go.
Except on the internet.
Except for on the internet.
Yeah.
In live shows, you can go anywhere you want. But if you're...
you just don't want...
If you're Daniel
Tosh...
You
want live shows to be on the internet, because that's where people complain.
Yes.
I don't have a lot of Holocaust material, and I don't know if that's a weakness in my Arsenal, or do you have any Holocaust jokes?
No, but I wrote a joke for Jamie. He's got this this a true story about his dog that we went in depth on with Mark Weitz, the Alien Warrior comedian, where part of the joke I wrote, I tried to put in a whole bunch of Holocaust references to the Humane Society in Tooele.
Because it looked
for
like
some reason got pulled out.
It did? No,
did you cut it?
Didn't. I do that.
Do you still do it?
I was doing. I just did
a reference off.
I didn't want that. That's like a 10-minute bit, and I'm like, we're on a podcast. I don't want to go 10 minutes. So I cut stuff out during the podcast, but I still do that on stage.
All right.
Where I, you know, talk a little bit about the Humane Society looking like Auschwitz for dogs and stuff like that. Yeah. So.
Well, there is some Holocaust jokes about, you know, Volkswagens where they have the exhaust going in on the inside.
Oh yeah. So I'm gonna just recap the premise again. The Where's the Punch podcast is all about joke writing. We kind of get together as comics, talk a little bit about some of the jokes we're working on, maybe some jokes we've written and how we've gotten to them, some of our favorite jokes, and then if we're having struggling with coming up with a punchline for a joke or two, that maybe we can all help each other come to a punchline there.
I have a joke that starts with a punchline.
Ooh, I love those.
It's this shit tastes like it was cooked at sea level. And then that's the punchline to a joke about high altitude cooking instructions, and that's the joke.
I don't know where to go from there, Sheldon.
Well, it started with observing that there were high altitude cooking instructions on Hamburger Helper.
Oh, are you serious?
And then I used to try to tell it this way, which was like, you know, try to get to Hamburger Helper somehow. First of all, figure out desperately how to get to Hamburger
Helper. The transition,
Helper.
Like, yeah. Gotta get to the hamburger.
But once you're at Hamburger Helper, then I try to paint the scene of a single mother with a cross-dressing single mother.
Cross-dressing.
Actually, that's not how I usually set it up, but a single mom and the kids sitting there going, Mom, these green beans are great. This pork chop's excellent, but the Hamburger Helper shit tastes like it was cooked at sea level.
Yeah, that's...
That was the whole... Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I just started telling it backwards, and I get more of a kick.
And you get more of a kick. Well, it's a great kind of just...
There's a lot of math involved, though. People...
Yes. But just saying that is funny in and of itself. So you get people's attention right off the bat, right?
Yeah.
And then you say the next line, which is the... what's the next line in the joke? How does that go?
It's the punchline to a joke about high-altitude cooking instructions.
Yeah. And
that is always silence. Just dead silence.
I don't think that follows, though, because it doesn't taste like it was cooked at sea level. It tastes as if you tried to cook it.
I never thought about
at
that.
At sea level.
Were you trying to make this... Were you trying to pass this off as sea level? Sea level hamburger helper. That's a mouthful.
But you have to be careful with the British, because, you know, you can think it's their sea levels. It's in the letter C. You have to spell out S-E-A.
This shit tastes like it was cooked... In primary school. That's how the Brits would understand it.
Primary school.
I never thought about that. Like, an attempt to cook at... But we're at 5,000 feet.
Yeah, so you tried to cook it like...
You were trying to pass this off.
This is where I struggle with comedy, because then I get in these logical loops.
Yeah.
The...
But we're at altitude.
Yeah.
I feel like it takes... Like, I wonder if that changes how jokes are received, the altitude. I like
you think you could say that about...
But it's like writing jokes, right? It's like, well, it works in Utah.
This is a weird place,
different,
too.
Yeah. I'm going to have to... You got to have directions on how to change your jokes up for sea level.
Okay, so if you're going to tell a comic who's coming to Utah here... What would they do different?
So maybe you would use like the premise, like, you know, green bean casserole helper, straight off the shelf.
Okay. Green, like, what about it though?
Well, just like, you know.
That's relatable, the green bean casserole.
Well, you could probably, you know, build it up and say, well, your wife was busy, you know, one evening and didn't have time to make her own casserole. So she went to the store and got this, you know, green bean helper casserole.
But is there
a Utah
helper
reference? And but there isn't.
There's those turkey onion rings.
Yeah, and then the sub, you know, the husband compliment, you know, compliment her. Gee, your cooking's improving.
But I want to know, is there
I don't have a wife, though, Sheldon.
Better than that sea
who,
level
Who
crap.
Is it, though? Who is it that sits down and comes up with the recipe for the green bean casserole? Or confirms that, yeah, you on the hamburger helper, if you're at altitude,
yeah,
you're going to have to cook, you're going to have to boil the water a little bit longer.
That's all
it
is.
You have to fry when the hamburger.
But when it says bring the water to a boil, is there like...
It's
like
always about the boiling. That's all it is.
But don't you... You don't time your boiling.
I know.
You just cook it till it boils. So if you're at sea level and it boils in 10 minutes...
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, it's ready. And if you're at... You know, and if you're at altitude, who's like
that?
Who's like, shit, it's been 10 minutes. This thing should be boiling by now.
Yeah, well, it's not boiling, but it said 10 minutes. I don't know what... Oh, there's high altitude cooking instructions.
Oh, wait, yeah. Oh, they say it takes longer.
But what I imagine is there's a room of PhDs, scientists sitting down, and they have a formula where people submit the cooking instructions for upcoming product, and they have to look at it and say, oh, well... We're going to have to translate this into altitude.
What they should do is they should get another mascot, Hamburger Helper mascot, that's like from Denver, right?
That, like a high altitude helper.
It's wearing
helper.
Flannel and, rides a mountain bike.
The glove dude.
The high altitude Hamburger Helper hand. I like in that room of guys with PhDs, one of them doesn't have their PhD.
Oh, yeah,
I like
guaranteed.
To think about one of them. Well, and he has to take the notes.
In my head right now, they're either all scientists or they're all Indonesian youth.
That just got weird.
who their job is
Indonesian youth.
To write cooking instructions
to try,
for hamburger
to try
helper.
Cooking everything at different.
Well, where did he get these, testers for, Hamburger Helper? Are they all, yes man? Because some of them, will they get fired if it says it tastes terrible? Because it really does.
Yep. And they'd be like,
and they're all just like, yes.
They're all pressured. They're all pressured from the top. Like the guy who came up with the original recipe is just standing there. What do you think about this one, huh? Are you like your 401k? How's your 401k doing? Huh? You want to keep your health insurance? You better like this.
How's your high altitude pension doing?
Yeah.
High altitude 401k? That's really fucking bad.
Or maybe it's like the soup Nazi. You will like this hamburger helper.
Yep.
They just force it on them.
It wouldn't be a helper. It would be more fascist. The hamburger, what would it be? No, it wouldn't be a helper. That's communist. That's a communist kind of.
You think hamburger helper
take
is
on
it?
Convenience cooking, helping. But how do you translate that to fascist? The fascist product.
Well,
hamburger Führer. Hamburger.
Is that
Führer?
Hamburger maybe? Führer? If there's a
hamburger Führer.
Well,
hamburger, tell me what to do.
I don't know if you
want dictator.
I don't know if you want to go the fascist route because then you might question where the hamburger is coming from.
Yeah,
that's true.
Oh boy,
yeah.
Sheldon, this hamburger helper
dark.
Shit tastes like
Bob.
Tastes like it's made of moils.
Yeah, and what's this hair in there?
Never. What's the Jewish joke? Never accept hamburger helper made out of a moil. The old joke is never accept gribbiness from a moil, right? But
right.
I'm culturally Jewish.
Okay,
I aspire to be Jewish.
Are you saying moil? For the audience, that's a rabbi at a circumcision.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I just happen to have a joke about that.
Yeah.
Share.
Let's hear it.
And you can decide whether this is a true story or not. But I took my wife, to a circumcision, and the moil.
Your wife to a circumcision.
It was a date.
Yeah, and it was a date, and the moil was kind of clumsy, and he was taking the baby, and he was swinging that knife all around, and all of a sudden the foreskin flips into my wife's lap. And then she doesn't know what it is, and she looks at it, and she asks me, says, what is this? I said, well, take a bite. If you like it, I'll give you a bigger piece.
Oh, man. In that description, you were describing the moil as, in my head, the image popped up of him holding the baby, The knife stays still, but he moves the baby. He's the worst Moyle ever. He moves the baby around the knife.
He's like, I got a new technique. We're going to try this out. I think this will work. It's going to catch
the
on.
The knife stays just still.
In my head, I'm seeing the Moyle to me is like one of those Asian movies where the guy comes out and he's got all the knives, he's flipping them around. And he's,
it's like a Benihana's of foreskin around.
Does a jump spinning kick and lands.
Oh, man.
So, and then one of the other jokes I have, you know, which I actually do, is that I say I was Mormon for a while, but I just, you know, decided to become Jewish again. And then I go to the rabbi, and the rabbi, you know, says, well, you have to be recircumcised, you know, and I tell him, well, I think you took off too much the first time.
Does your wife know you're doing this, Sheldon? Because she's the butt of a lot of your jokes.
She does, and
she's the premise.
You know, wives are interesting. I don't know if you can use wives to find out if your jokes are funny, because they never think anything is funny.
No.
Did she ever?
Not,
think
that's what happens. That's the big thing. When you're dating, they laugh at everything. Okay. And then once you get married, it's no sex and no more laughing. That's the
really?
Two things. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
go.
True.
I can handle one of those.
Yeah. So flip a coin. Hopefully it's just one of them.
Wow.
And not the
no more laughing,
whammy.
Really? Didn't you feel like there was a bait and switch that went on?
They totally bait and switch you.
It's totally.
You think you're the funniest
the
guy in the world, and then you get married, and next thing you know, you're the Hugs. Root of all the problems. So.
In Jamie's world, though, there is no recourse. He's locked in forever.
I am.
Why can't you?
Because love is forever. Right, Ben? I'm a hopeless romantic.
You're a helpless romantic.
I'm helpless. Hopeless.
Is there ever a romantic when someone's like, man, that romantic's got his shit together. He seems fine.
he's not.
That romantic is on top. Like, he shows up on time.
Yeah, he's got
you can
gone.
Really trust and rely on that romantic. Does that guy exist? A
it's
hopeful
a very
romantic.
A hopeful one. Or a hopeless one. A hopeless one. It's just... Isn't that how the saying is? Isn't it hopeless? A hopeless romantic.
Wasn't there a group, like a soul group named the Romantics?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So there was one that was hopeless.
There was one.
There was a hopeless romantic. Like in Detroit and Motown, at one point, there was one of the four who was totally hopeless.
And then the other three came along and really brought it.
The other three were like fucking track coaches. Like, I don't know why I went to track coaches. That
they
seemed
all
like
did
a black
that.
Profession.
They do all that dance. They dance the same. Whoa, it got quiet.
I'm still
What's
thinking about
on?
The fact that Hamburger Helper made him choose.
Well, what I love is we went from Hamburger Helper to Briss. Yeah, to Briss. That ended up in an oral sex joke.
And I actually have to be, you know, careful with the Jewish jokes if I'm telling to my friends. Because I told a Jewish joke to one of my friends' wives one time. And, you know, well, the joke was, you know, I mean, you know, what's free ham? You know, then it's a Jewish dilemma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, she really got upset. She says, all
was
you're...
Was she Jewish?
Yeah, she was Jewish. And she says, all you're doing is perpetuating the Jewish stereotype. So I have... I mean,
which
I have
one are you perpetuating? The myth of being kosher or the myth of the cheapness around
Yeah, the
ham?
Cheapness. You know, the cheapness of Jews is, I mean, you know, it's a rarely...
She was perpetuating the Jewish female stereotype by being upset about it.
That's true.
By being controlling.
That is true. I didn't think of it that way, but you're right.
Who's giving away free ham, by the way? I wouldn't take any free meat.
It seems sketchy, doesn't it?
I want to pay for... There's things I want to pay for, and one is meat.
Yeah. You don't go skinny on the meat or on toilet paper.
Really? You don't bargain shop for toilet paper?
No. I go top shelf.
But
top shelf.
I do, too. I get good
I
stuff.
I empty out McDonald's napkin.
Do you? You empty really? That dispenser. That's got the softest? Is that the best?
No, I did when I was in college. I did.
Hardee's used to have the best, but then they went out of business.
Toilet paper's like the one thing that's really hard. Like, I'm going to wipe my ass. You and I both know it.
Yeah.
That's what's the unspoken.
That's one of the things that we all share as humanity. Well, except for in Europe, where they use bidets. So.
The what? The bidet?
The bidet, yes.
Bidet. Abide it, you mean?
So anybody else got any jokes that they're working on? Any
Did you
else?
Have a new joke, Sheldon, other than the the full cultural weight of your background?
You know, I'm trying right now, I'm you know, trying to write clean jokes because my wife is upset at, you know, dirty jokes, and I can't, you know, tell her dirty jokes at all.
What you should do is bring her to Roadkill and have her hear the other comics, and then anything
then you say
it will not be dirty.
Yeah. I have a joke that my wife won't let me do. She will not let me do on stage. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah,
I'm
going
to do it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Then she can listen to it over and over again. It's a joke about... the joke goes, my dad took me out. My mom made my dad take me out to give me the sex talk, so we go fishing. And we pack our lunches and we show up to go fishing. And my dad did not know how to do the sex talk at all. So he just opened up the lunchbox and he pulls out a Twinkie that we packed. And he goes, Jamie, I don't know what to tell you about sex, but I'll just give you some advice. It's a lot like this Twinkie here. Anything you fill with cream, you're going to regret eating later. And that's, and she thinks that's the worst joke I've ever written. And I'm like, it's not even that bad.
I don't understand.
She's forbid me from doing that joke on stage.
So,
you don't get it?
What's the Twinkie? What?
Yeah. Dude,
don't Twinkies last for like thousands of years?
Supposedly,
they have so many preservatives in them.
That's what they say, although they haven't really.
Anything you fill with cream,
you will regret eating later.
Regret eating later.
So it's a
it's
but doesn't the Twinkie come already pre-filled with cream? I don't understand.
Well, because somebody had to fill it with cream. It didn't just wasn't
that's,
born
that's
with
different
cream.
Situation.
Oh, okay.
You just went down on somebody at a gang rape.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Maybe that's why she doesn't want you telling it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe she was just following the logic of that joke out to its
last. Sheldon, you probably don't want your wife listening to this podcast.
Well, yeah. Maybe I'll just turn it on at night when she's sleeping and see what happens in the morning.
You think Andy's smooth, silky voice is going to make some magic happen?
Just imagine Andy at a college radio station. You know, it's like the 70s. He's got the midnight to 4 a.m. shift.
Yeah.
This is Andy Farnsworth.
Women love the sound of insecurity. It just gets them all juiced up.
But I told her a joke that was, you know, similar to, you know, to the Twinkie joke, and she didn't like it. And I didn't think it was that bad. You know, I just...
What was your version? What is...
You know, I mean, my wife, you know, said it was time to have that sex talk with my teenage boys. So after the sex talk, you know, I went back to my wife and I said, okay, it's okay, honey. I found out what we're doing wrong in bed.
No, that's nowhere
that's
near
awesome.
The Twinkie joke. That's actually that's a good joke.
That's a positive joke.
That's actually a joke.
Yeah. And actually someone's life got better at the end of that joke.
Yeah, that's
Plus
a win. That's a win-win.
Way. Yeah.
Everybody wins on that one. Anybody, Ben, have you got anything? I know we went over on the last one.
I'm still hurting from the last one.
Can I talk about this?
Yes, please.
I'm supposed to be a comic, and I still don't know how to listen to a joke. Do you feel uncomfortable? Like, when you're telling... I don't know what to do with my eyes.
Oh, like when somebody's like, hey, I got this new joke.
Am I smiling too much? Like, I'm listening.
The worst part,
I'm too eager.
The worst part is when, you know, they put all this heart and soul, and they come up and they tell you this new joke that they think is going to kill, and it's really not funny. And then you have that awkward moment where you know that's the punchline, and you're like...
Is that it?
And you're like... You make that fake comic laugh where you go, yeah.
Yeah.
The sympathy laugh.
And I really struggle when I used to go on stage, really struggled with this because joke telling is super situational. And so your energy and your delivery and how present you are in the moment is heavily dependent on your engagement with that audience at the time.
Yeah.
And so if you tell somebody, oh, I tell jokes, and they immediately start questioning you on that takes you out of that moment. But when you're on stage and there's an audience and they're reactive, then it's really easy. And when they're not, which usually Roadkill is, you know, it's a free show. We don't market because I don't have money to market it. It's mainly here just for comics to get on stage and get comfortable being on stage. You don't have that engagement. It's just, I don't even know where I'm going with this.
No,
it's just plowing through it. It's just like, get up there, do it.
You need the accoutrements of comedy.
You know, I just wonder if you're telling jokes to comics that aren't your writing partner. I mean, if you're an atmosphere where there are other comics in the audience, I wonder if they're really listening, or, you know, if they're, you know, thinking about their own comedy act that they're about to do.
I can guarantee you they're not listening.
Yeah. None of us are actually talking to each other. I don't think that we're actually even communicating.
No.
We're all just thinking right now. Let's get back to me.
It's like
I want to say something.
Yeah. It's like a dishwasher running in the background. You just, you know it's going, but you're not really paying attention, right? One of those.
So,
things.
Like in that analogy, a comedian is an appliance
that
makes life better.
Because it does the dirty work. You know, it scrubs the dishes.
Does this, the heart, the thumping, is this going to come up?
Oh, it comes over beautifully on this.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that's going to come up on the...
So what's going on tonight at Roadkill? We're at Comedy Roadkill tonight. Is in the other big room. It's almost Halloween. There's a rock concert going on.
Oh, okay. What is the...
They're called Sleigh Bells or something.
Sleigh Bells.
Like that, which I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
So... here's a premise that I did on the last podcast. We really didn't get any too with it. Well, I don't know. Do I want to do this premise again? I don't want to do this.
No, I don't do that one again.
No, what I want to do... Let's talk... So I have a joke I do about fishing.
Uh-huh. The Eskimo one?
No. You were on that podcast.
I
tried to write that Eskimo joke for probably 4 or 5 episodes of this podcast, right?
And I was like every podcast. Oh, I got this Eskimo one.
But,
I'm like, man, just
and so we it did okay. It did a fine.
Just
Ben
cut support to it like we did to the
Ben's
Inuits.
Mad. Ben's mad because I wrote an Eskimo joke before he did, and he's just bent.
I'm mad that you wrote an Eskimo joke.
No, you're mad.
Didn't I? When,
and
if
I think the word
had
joke
been on when I was on that podcast, it would have picked me up saying Inuit.
Yes.
That was my objection.
Because you were offended.
No, I wasn't offended. I was
playing... But other Eskimos would have been...
I was playing the Eskimos advocate.
Yes. So...
Inuit.
So...
You'll never be as big an advocate as Steven Seagal, so...
That's true. He spoke
for the Inuits. Are you supposed to say
Inuits.
Eskimo?
No, it's a slang term.
It's Alaskan American.
Alaskan American.
I don't know. Is that
That's,
true?
No, you don't... I don't know. I've never met one.
Ryan Stout's joke about you're not supposed to say hippie, it's dirty American.
Dirty American. But so my fishing joke, I have a great fishing joke, but I want to expand it. You know when you write like a really good joke, but it only takes up like, you know, 1 minute? But you're like, God, this premise is good. I'm getting good response out of this. How do I milk this sucker and turn it into a 5-minute premise, right?
Yeah.
So my fishing joke is all about, you know why men love to go fishing, you know, and it goes, it's not that men love to go fishing, it's that married men love to go fishing. Because after a couple of years of being married, you're just like, I gotta get the hell out of here. I gotta go someplace where a woman won't go. And so you go to a lake, and so I go on for that for a little bit. But my whole, what I want to expand on is, like, all the things that they do in fishing are all things that men have created to keep women away from going fishing. Like gutting a fish, hooking a worm. That whole rule about you can't talk or you'll scare the fish away is just to keep women to shut up for a couple hours so guys can enjoy peace and quiet. Like, and so that's the whole premise.
What about the premise that, with Corina Martinez earlier about how, you know, men don't have it as good as women think we do.
Yeah.
Do women think we have it good?
They think we have it extremely good.
Yeah, it was kind of like feminist, you know.
I guess you have to talk to women to know what they think about.
But the whole premise of the joke was, you know, men don't have it that good. Men have issues. I mean, beyond the fact, men don't have it as good as women. I mean, other than the few things that men have better than women is, you know...
Peeing standing up.
I still don't do that.
Have no glass ceiling.
And basically the whole premise is that we just list
out... Just keep
out,
on listing things.
But everything's good. Everything is good. Nothing is bad. So you're like, we've got a bad. And then you list everything, but everything that you're saying is, like, really good stuff. Like, we don't have to worry about babies.
We don't have babies. We don't.
We have to worry about them. And
you just have to worry about their moms finding us. That's it.
Like, I'm still thinking about the glass ceiling. Like, do women who have jobs in the business world... who live in glass houses.
Have glass ceilings.
If they do have a glass ceiling, can they complain about it?
They paid a lot for
I
it.
I mean...
They have more experience at washing
of course
windows.
Only successful women can have a glass ceiling.
Well, and I think you have a right to complain about a glass ceiling. Like, it's impractical.
It's completely impractical.
And especially if you keep hitting your head on it, that means it's really low.
Yeah. And you never...
You live in a glass house with a really low ceiling. Yeah, why would women see-through.
What it comes down to is, why would women have a glass ceiling to begin with?
Yeah.
And why would they hit their head on it?
What kind of benefit does that give them anyway?
Why are they hitting their head on the glass ceiling? And that whole thing doesn't make sense to me. Are they on a trampoline? Why does this business headquarters have a trampoline?
Amazon women? Like, are those the ones that are complaining?
Why did they take a job somewhere where they don't fit in the building?
And the only reason why they complain about the glass ceiling is because they have to clean it all the time.
Well, it couldn't be. I mean, it couldn't be a glass floor because none of the guys would ever get any work done.
That's true.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody be in the basement.
Oh. All right,
guys.
Is that 25 minutes?
Yeah. No, we're good. We're good, guys. We've burnt the candle up.
Okay.
Guys, I want to thank everybody for being on the podcast. This is the part of the podcast where you guys can talk about, you know, where can people reach you, where can they find you on Facebook, on the web, and then any upcoming shows that you guys got coming on.
Sheldon, what do you got going on? Are you weekly? You're at the what is the Paper Moon thing?
Well, the Paper Moon is a lesbian bar, you know, down on State Street. So that's on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock, and then.
So does Paper Moon, is that word, is the name of the bar? Is there sapphic connotations to that that I don't understand?
It is. I don't know where they came up with the name, Paper Moon. And then there is a Jewish deli in Salt Lake, the only Jewish deli, and they're going to try. I don't know if you call it a stand up, but they're having a dinner joke telling session, and they're calling it Old Jewish Men Telling Jokes.
That's awesome. It's going to be a night at the Catskills.
Right. And so they're going to have kind of like a dinner show, and that's on, I believe.
I want to go to that.
That's on December 2nd, and it's at Feldman's Deli here in Salt Lake, and they're on the internet, so you can look it up and get the address.
December 2nd? You said November 2nd.
December 2nd.
You need to remind us on that. I want to go to that.
Yeah.
And you need to make...
So when they say... Is it just going to be you then doing jokes? Because I don't know that there's many other Jewish comedians,
They haven't decided their format, and I told the owner that I would help them with it, whether they want to do an open mic on a, little stage, or if they want to, pass the microphone.
I'm pretty sure they want to have
the Jews.
I'm sure they probably want to have a clean night, right?
Customers. And, he thinks it's going to go over big, especially if he has Jewish people, because he's giving a $5 discount on the meal if you tell a joke.
You have to be Jewish?
No, you don't have to be Jewish.
I was going to say, the Jews controlling
but I suspect
show
it's probably
going to
be, they probably want a clean show. They don't want to.
It's reaching in the Salt Lake City delis.
Falcon's Deli.
They're just like, we know.
Only some of the Jewish jokes are heard. They're not that clean, but...
I always remind you when you say that... Say that in relation to what you hear in the rest of the comedy scene.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I gotta go on stage. Okay. I think
we're gonna wrap up. What do you have coming up?
Oh, I have the Somebody Else's Baby Show, which Ben so kindly supports. It's on November 8th here at the Complex.
It's a set list show?
It is a set list type of show. And it is, it's gonna be extravaganza. I have great plans for it.
Awesome.
And, I'm AndyFarnsworth.net.
.net.
I did the com. Somebody owns the com.
Son of a gun.
And some Lithuanians keep trying to sell it to me, but I think they're lying.
Yeah.
And Sheldon, how do you contact you?
Just on Well, my email address is shellyb123@comcast.net.
Okay. At least it's not on AOL, so.
And then I'm on Facebook, so you can look up Sheldon Beitler, and you will find me on Facebook.
Perfect. Excellent.
Because, you know, today you can find anyone on Facebook.
Yep.
I don't know. I've... They say you can in the open graph, but I'm not finding people.
Yeah, it's hard to find some people on there. I'm gonna go.
All right, okay.
All right, thanks, everybody. Thanks. Yep, thanks for the podcast, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and look for us on the web. We've got a Facebook page
yep.
and all that fun stuff. Appreciate everybody's support. Thanks a lot.